on the Buzz Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. Nugent's Pub, Stratton's Market, downtown Little Rock, 3rd and Rock. Come by and see us. They are open for lunch. There is an Anaheim turkey sandwich with some onion rings and maybe a side salad that will be on my plate in the not-too-distant future. Good Lord willing.
And the creeks don't rise.
Can you hear me in the kitchen? Can you hear me in the kitchen?
They're ignoring you.
My blood type is Anaheim chili. Can a brother get a sandwich up in here? Pigskin's here. Bill Vickery, I assume, will be along with us at some point. I do want to turn your attention to a couple of things. Chrissy Chatham, who was with us earlier from Youth Home, and again, the Christmas karaoke event's only a few days away. It's next Thursday. There's a nice write-up on page 16, a story about Youth Home and a young person who has benefited from their efforts. It's in the Arkansas Times this week, so check that out. Also, my buddy Tony has turned me onto a story that Dan Rayfield wrote on ESPN.com about Jermaine Taylor's latest comeback fight. By the way, Jermaine is going to be part of the upcoming Christmas karaoke event next week. He is also fighting this weekend in a matchup that has not received a whole lot of national attention, but he's fighting a guy named J.C. Candelo, 32-12-4 with 21 knockouts. If he wins, Jermaine and the folks in his camp believe that they will have a chance to fight for a title. I'm going to tweet the story link out, but you can also look on ESPN.com and find it for yourself. But hopefully Jermaine can win this weekend. It's at the Alamo Dome. It's a big card. It's actually a great card on Showtime. Jermaine, it doesn't look like his fight will be televised unless something changes at the last minute, but he is going to be on part of a great card and a great facility. To fight in the Alamo Dome would be kind of fun, I would think.
Do you remember a few years ago when he fought in December, they called the card Season's Beatings?
Yes.
I'm like, that's the greatest name ever.
That was against
one of those dudes.
Choppy.
One of those dudes he beat. But that guy was good.
And Stanley Knox, my former co-host, made Choppy a $100 bet at the press conference that he would not beat Jermaine, and the dude took it but never paid up.
You should have bet $200 that Choppy would beat Stanley. That would have been even a better bet.
Frankly, I'm not sure if he would have at that point. Stanley was not in his weight class, so to speak,
at that point. Yeah, gotcha.
And anyway, I'm sorry I'm tweeting as I'm talking, but hopefully he does well this weekend, and hopefully they get another look at it. But
this is Season's Beatings 2.
Yes, I like it. That'll be good. Thanks to my buddy Tony Ranchino for sending me the story. I appreciate it very much. Some awards from last night. We're going to get into the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report and our visit with I'm going to have to text him apparently because he's not calling in immediately, our buddy Robbie Neiswanger. But Jameis Winston getting some love last night, not getting much love today, though. Selected as the Walter Camp Player of the Year on Thursday, saying he was overwhelmed by the honor. Also, some other finalists were honored last night. By the way, Johnny Manziel now talking that he says he's ready to go pro. Whether or not he's going to decide to go pro remains to be seen. We shall see.
He's gone.
I agree. A.J. McCarron became the first Alabama player to win the Maxwell Award as the most outstanding player. Good for him. And the Doak Walker Award winner is also a Heisman finalist. And that goes to the Williams kid, the running back from
Boston College.
Yeah, over 2,000 yards this year, 2102 this year.
How about the Jim Thorpe Award winner, Darquez Dennard from
Michigan State? Mm-hmm.
Kid, you know, he had one college offer. One.
Did not.
Michigan State.
How about that?
That was the only major college that wanted the kid.
You know, we were talking to the athletic director from Arkansas State yesterday, and it's about he was talking about assessing talent. He said not necessarily coaching it up, but assessing talent properly, and it's so important at that level.
Absolutely huge.
It is amazing how many kids get missed on, though.
Texas has probably got 84 and 5 stars, and they did nothing this year. Michigan State has got about 6 4 stars, and they're playing in one of the BCS.
Well, if you're insistent that Johnny Manziel play defensive back, how good are you at assessing talent?
Yeah, Mac passed on Manziel. He passed on Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, Joe Namath, Otto Graham,
maybe not Winston,
RG3, and Johnny Unitas. Mac passed on all of those guys.
And he had a chance to have Vince Lombardi as a coordinator and missed on him.
Yeah, he passed on him. Hired a grad assistant instead of Lombardi.
What an idiot.
I'm telling you.
So I'm assuming Robbie's calling in. Let's get into our Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. A real quick recap of last night. If you missed it, Arkansas wins over a lesser than. And by that I mean they beat the crap out of a team from Georgia. Savannah State 43, Arkansas 72. A cruise of a victory for those Hogs. Maddie?
Can you smell what the zone is cooking?
It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
Ah, yes, a teaching moment last night for Arkansas, and it was good that Michael Qualls got that teaching moment in a game that Arkansas made interesting but really had not much of a chance to lose. Qualls sits the first half, the leading scorer for Arkansas, comes back and scores 7 points in 16 minutes in the second half, and Arkansas rolls 72-43 after outscoring Savannah State 45-18 in the final 20 minutes. Let's go to the Stinky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Robbie Nicewanger of the Arkansas News Bureau standing by. Hey, Robbie.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. Better than I was at halftime last night. I was sitting in front of a roaring fire, curled up under a blanket, watching Arkansas win, and there was not enough alcohol in Central Arkansas to make that first 20 minutes look interesting. It was horrendous.
Yeah, I was sitting in an empty arena watching it too. So it was definitely, you know, it was just kind of a bad night all around. When you're talking about, you know, the crowd size, I think the weather and the roads up here had a lot to do with it. You're talking about the opponent, which, you know, has the worst RPI in the country, and you know, you're just talking about a team that's about to enter finals and a team that's coming off some games against some big name teams. So it really had all the makings for a bad night, and it certainly started that way. It was ugly. There's no doubt about it. But credit to Arkansas, they were able to, you know, rebound in the second half and respond. They found some energy, they found some life, and they were able to you know, cruise. So yep, they got the job done. That's what matters in the end, I guess.
Well, and a couple of good things to come out of it, we'll talk about in a second. But I do have to give a huge jockstrap to the crowd. 5,654 last night, and that is an absolute gross over-exaggeration. And watching on TV, I kept saying to my wife, I'm like, look at the few people who showed up at the game, because I couldn't even use the crowd word because it was totally inappropriate. A couple of things. First of all, we either got to get Blake Edens a new headset or he's going to have to trim his beautiful locks, because I love his curls, but he looked ridiculous with that headset yesterday. We got to get him a different kind of headset. Maybe he can use a stick mic, something. And I was focused on things like that because the crowd was so pathetic. But I don't know what happened last night. I understand the kids are, you know, focused on finals, but give me a break. And some kids have probably already left for home. But
isn't that the
gracious
bunch that's always griping about Little Rock not supporting the team? Why don't they support the team and walk like 500 feet and go over there and watch them?
By my estimation, Robbie, that's less than a third full at 5,600.
Yeah, not very big crowd at all.
Okay, just checking.
I don't know the reasons for that. You know, you can throw out some reasons. Like I said earlier, the roads still in spots are pretty nasty. I know it was an icy walk for me. I had to slip and slide my way to the arena last night. It's still as well. You know, today is a dead day on campus, so I don't know if some students have already taken their finals and gone home, as you mentioned. I don't know if there's been other things going on in the area, you know, as far as other schools and stuff. It was just a bad night for attendance.
And apparently a lot of people traveled from Northwest Arkansas to come down and watch Bentonville play in the state championship game rather tonight at War Memorial Stadium. So I'm going to guess that there may be as many or more people at the state championship game for 7A tonight than there were at Bud Walton Arena last night. Quick Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback item, Robbie. Chris and Benton, Razorback fans need to be careful or Jeff Long's going to start pulling games out of Bud Walton Arena. I don't think that's going to happen, but I get your point. Okay, so let's talk about some of the good things from last night. And we have been talking since the beginning of the season about the need for Madden to mature and step up.
Yeah.
And last night he looked, and again, I understand it's against a lesser opponent, but that's how you get it started. He looked more comfortable and more confident than I have seen him since he stepped on campus.
Well, and let's go a step further. He looked like, you know, for a lot of the first half, like the only player that was interested. And I think that was very important for Arkansas because we know how much the rest of the team struggled. I mean, he had 13 of their 27 points. He was, what, 6-for-7 from the field. The rest of the team was 4-for-21. So it was just an awful first half for the rest of the roster. And you know, thankfully for Arkansas, you know, Madden came out to play. And you know, he played very well. And he's done that over the last couple of games. And you're right, this is a player who has all kinds of potential. We haven't seen him as much of a scorer throughout his career here. But, you know, the last couple of weeks, he's really showing that potential. And I think a lot of it has to do with his three-point shot. He's knocking it down. That's playing a big role in it. But he also looks very confident going to the basket as well. He's doing some good things defensively and getting some easy buckets. So it's a good thing for Arkansas. If you can keep Michael Qualls doing what he's doing, if you can keep Bobby Portis continuing to develop, if you can find Antoine Bell. He's disappeared here the last few games.
Yeah,
if you
boy.
Can get him back, you know, then you can add Madden to that as well. You've got some potential there when you're moving into conference play, and that's what Arkansas is looking for and hoping for.
Yeah, he was well, brutal, frankly. 1 of 6, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. And Arkansas struggled all night beyond the three-point line. It's been an area of strength for them this year. Last night, not so much. 1 of 10 in the first half. They ended up 5 of 19, 26% from the three. Didn't shoot it well from the line either, which has been another strength, 13 of 26. But, again, lack of focus, lesser opponent. And after the game, as I saw you tweet out, Robbie, that Bobby Portis had said, you know, hey, we took them lightly. It's Savannah State. I mean, basically, look, they suck. We're focused elsewhere. Yeah. It's hard to get up for these guys, and it showed.
Yeah, you got to love Paul Portis' honesty. So I almost laughed at the press conference when he said that, because, you know, that's what everybody's thinking. That's what everybody knows. You just don't hear players and athletes say that very often, and he said it, so good for him. But, you know, the key now for them is to make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, right. When they get back on the floor, I can't remember who they play exactly on Thursday night next week, but, you know, again, it's an opponent that doesn't have a big name, so... How are you going to respond? You're coming off of finals this time, you know. So, you know, you've been in the books for a week straight now. What's going to happen when you step back out on the court? Are you going to have the same sort of, you know, ugly performance there in the first half? Are you going to be able to start the game much better and put this team away quicker? And, you know, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, I will admit I had to look it up myself because I haven't been paying attention. All I've been saying is Clemson was the last best test before conference season starts. But it will be Tennessee Martin next Thursday. For Arkansas, then South Alabama on Saturday at North Little Rock at Verizon Arena, which I don't know how ticket sales are going. I know I'm excited to be there. I'm looking forward to being over there for the game and getting a chance to see them. It's tough this time of year to get up to Fayetteville, especially in the midweek games, but looking forward to seeing them at Verizon Arena against, you know, of the games that are left for non-conference, South Al is probably the best team they're going to play.
No doubt. And that'll be a good test. And, you know, I'm actually hoping to be there as well, but now I'm hearing there's supposed to be more snow up here next Saturday, so... We'll see if I can get down there. I don't know.
Well, if there's snow up there, you need to come down here for sure.
It's been kind of a messy week. So we'll see. Well, you know, I've got to get down off of I-540 first. You know, I guess just point the car south and let it skate its way down there. So we'll see.
Don't worry, bro. We'll send the Buzz Chopper up to pick you up.
Sweet. I like that. All right. Let's make that happen. I'm all for it. I'll be there.
So let's talk a little football, too. Again, Arkansas, it's going to be the same story for the next couple of weeks, which is beating the crap out of lesser than opponents. SEC all-freshman team, Arkansas getting a little bit of love. Did not get everybody on there that I thought we might see. But they only, for some reason, they, you know, with the basketball team, we always complain about how they have like 10 guys on first team. For some reason, they limited the offensive line to 5 guys. But I thought Dan Skipper, at least for his field goal blocking, might get an opportunity to be on there as some sort of kick blocking specialist or something. But they did give Kirkland some love, Henry Collins and Phylon, which, again, if you're an Arkansas fan, the Utes are rising to the occasion.
Yeah, you know, actually, Skipper, I think, I've got them all confused. I think he was on some sort of freshman All-America team, but Kirkland wasn't. And Kirkland was on the freshman All-SEC team, but Skipper wasn't. So it's really weird how that works out sometimes. But, you know, I think what we saw, though, what we were seeing in these teams is the fact that, you know, Arkansas does have some talented youngsters on its roster that are coming back. Is it enough to go win SEC games? Well, it wasn't this year, as we know. So they've got to continue to add more to that, but at least Arkansas has a foundation there. They have guys that they believe they can count on, some guys that are getting some national and conference recognition. So that's a good place to start. I know the coaches are out there still recruiting right now. You know, it's a big recruiting weekend here on campus. They've got to make this class, you know, even better than last year's class, so that Arkansas can get out of the rut it's in as far as, you know, going 0-8 this year and really struggling.
Yeah, it was the College Football News All-America team included Collins and Henry and Skipper among the players. So that was good, yeah.
And Phylon,
Skipper was also third team for putting the star on top of the Christmas tree.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's like a specialist position.
It's good to be 6'10".
No, well, he's not third team. He's first team with that, because I'm not sure how many 6'10 guys are going to see. So
I'd like to be 5'10".
Punters for that.
Yeah. Thank you. We were at Dugan's Pub in Little Rock, Robbie, and if you do get down here in amongst the ice and snow next week, you definitely need to pop in and have some lunch or dinner, because it's a cozy little joint.
Sounds good to me. I'll be there.
Okay, so football-wise, obviously coaches out working the recruiting trail hard, and still at this point, no coaching change is going to be part of the mix, I assume?
Now at this point, you know, and we go back to what Bielema said a couple weeks ago, that he hopes everybody comes back. We all know that, you know, as as coaches, as head coaches are being hired across the country, we all know what that does as far as the domino effect, and it affects, you know, assistant coaching staffs as well. So there may be opportunities for other guys to move on, whether it's a promotion or going with a guy that they really like being with or whatever it may be. I don't know or haven't heard of anything yet as far as any of the Arkansas coaches leaving. You know, but that's certainly something that you have to monitor all the way through signing day, because there's even coaching changes after signing day a lot of times. So something we'll certainly keep an eye on here the next couple months. But I know the continuity can be a good thing for this program. If you got these coaches, everybody's getting along, everybody's on the same page, everybody likes being here and working here, you know, we know that can be a good thing if you have a cohesive staff at least. So Bielema feels like, you know, the last time we talked to him, Bielema feels like, you know, these coaches have done a good job and like to see them all return. And we'll see how that goes.
No doubt. Well, Robbie, we appreciate it, and we will not have you, I don't think, next week. Let's see, what are we doing next Friday? Are we here next Friday? What's the date today?
Today's the 13th.
Today's like the 13th. Ooh,
we're here all week next week.
Hey, Robbie, we'll talk to you next Friday, and then we'll let you go. Yeah, I guess we'll be recapping next Thursday's game next Friday.
Sounds good to me.
And we'll be previewing the Saturday game as Arkansas prepares to smash South Alabama, too. So we'll visit with you next Friday, and then I'll wish you a Merry Christmas then.
Perfect.
Well, I'm not doing it now. I refuse.
No, wish me Merry Christmas now, and wish me Merry Christmas next week.
Okay, fine. Merry Christmas now.
How about a Happy Festivus today?
Oh, yes, that works too.
Actually, next week will be even more appropriate because that'll be even closer to Festivus. But yes, fine. Happy Festivus today. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Easter and everything else. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm not going to say it back to you until next week.
Good. You save it. Thank you. I see how you work. That's cool. See you, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you. Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau. A couple other SEC-related notes, and we'll take another time out here. By the way, later on, we will